Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. This is week two of 2025. Maybe you're just joining us. Maybe you joined our church through Christmas, and we are so happy to have you with us. Thank you for, you know, worshiping with us. And again, as you settle in and you make this place your spiritual home, just know that there are lots of people here for you. And maybe you're wondering, what is The Breakdown? The Breakdown is a ministry where we just talk about the message that the Lord brings to us through whoever is given that opportunity to share on Sunday to bring the word to us. Because, you know, the Lord speaks to us as a body. And just like, you know, when you're at a restaurant and someone brings a meal to you, it looks great and you can see like what it's made out of, but it's only when you take the time to eat it and make it part of yourself that you get to benefit from the nutrients. And that's kind of what this is. You know, Jesus says, his word is truth and he's the bread of life. And so part of us growing is to steward what it is that he brings to us. And we talk about the messages. And so through this ministry, we just have various leaders from our church will come in and we're just going to show you what it's like to have a conversation. And the heart is that you would not see it as something that only spiritually trained people can do, but it's something that you can do. Because if you have trusted in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that was a big part of this message on Sunday, is that we are equipped with what it takes to grow. But we do this in the context of a family. And there are people who are specially gifted as shepherds and disciple makers in our own body. And joining us today are two of the people that I consider to be the prototype for the shepherd and the disciple maker. Welcome Pastor Will and Emily Eckerson.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Did he really
just give that to us, man?
It is so great to have you guys.
That is love. It's so awesome to be here. And I got to say, bro, the way that you just broke down what The Breakdown is, like, that was good.
Well, we're going on, I think, year four at this point.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you guys.
It's awesome to be here.
You know, like, I feel like from both of you, I've been equipped spiritually in showing more patience to people and being patient with where they're at, and not just focusing on, you know, making sure people know all the right things, but mm-hmm. understanding that there is a process and there's God's not so much interested in us knowing as much as he is in us becoming
yes.
his disciples yep. and becoming yep. his followers. Yep. And that's a process. And both of you have shown me what it's like to, even with me, but even just seeing how you are with others to yeah. patiently walk with people. And so that's why I really wanted to have you on today, because this message from 2 Peter, I really feel like it's a good, you know, Pastor Zach way back had preached this before. And I think the title of that message was A Prescription for Fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. But if we look at disciple making as becoming more like Jesus, and we want to live fruitful lives, and we want the people around us to live fruitful lives, that's integral to, you know, walking with people. And this yeah. passage really, really speaks to that. So that's why I really was excited to have you both on to get your thoughts and your take on Sunday.
Okay, awesome. That's cool. Do we have Emily introduce herself at all? No, I don't know. I think people need to know who she is.
Who Emily is?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Emily. Yeah. Emily is an under-shepherd in our greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And she does lots of things here at the church. She's yeah. involved with United.
Yeah, I'm in a season of stepping back right this minute because I'm about to get married.
Just
yeah.
it's a temporary step back.
But involved in United, used to do young adults, still kind of like sort of involved there. Very actively involved in our greenhouse, which is mm-hmm. awesome. I love serving there and just being there. We have a great greenhouse, great group of people. What else do I do here?
Disciple people.
Yeah.
yeah.
Love on people.
Meet new people. Yeah. Sing on a choir once in a while, hang out.
Well, and going back to the disciple making, I remember when you were talking with our friend group and how you were starting a girls' Bible study, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not an official group, you know. Yeah. And that's something that I think we need to all receive right now mm-hmm. is you don't need to have an official group in order to exercise your gift of discipleship.
Amen. Yeah. yeah. That was an organic group that, like, it was just some girls that I noticed in my circle, and me and another girl from church just said, like, hey, let's we have these girls on our heart. Let's start a Bible study. Let's talk about like what it means to read your Bible, what it means to grow. And yeah, we go through a book of the Bible. We talk about it every other week and it's just a fun hangout and we're just invested in each other's lives. And yeah, it doesn't have to be official. It's just, it's just living life next to each other, you know?
Yeah. Now, what I love about that is you actually modeled this so well where I just left a meeting where we said that there are people that have burdens that have been given to them by the Lord and they don't know what to do with it. And the leadership team knows that people need to be released to follow the Lord in those things. And so it's literally, you don't need permission. No. You don't need permission. This team does not need to give you permission, but you probably need direction.
Yeah.
So share what that burden is and you'll receive some direction on what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And you and Kylie did that. Mm-hmm. You came to me and said, hey, here's what we have going on. Like, what do we do? And my literal words were, I love it.
Do it.
What do you need? Like that's really it. And I absolutely love how even with Peter in this this whole entire letter, this whole entire book, he's encouraging right along those lines, saying that, hey, you have what you need. You really do. Let me give you a little bit of direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. It's so, so good. So just on that, you know, Pastor Zach told us that, you know, Peter's writing this at the end of his life. And Peter was there from the beginning, one of Jesus's first disciples. And when you look at his development, he really hits all the highs and all the lows. He hits the highest highs and the lowest lows when Jesus is here. And then when Jesus... you know, gets taken up into heaven and the Holy Spirit comes down. It's Peter. He's the one who gives that first message on the day of Pentecost. He sees the thousands come to Jesus. He sees the church get birthed and develop. And it goes out into like the, you know, the farthermost parts of the earth. And you know, Peter starts in Jerusalem and then he ends in Rome.
Yeah.
So even Peter gets to go on this journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's seen all these amazing revivals. He has seen all these healings. And yet he's starting this last letter of his life to the church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us this prescription for how it is that we are to live fruitful lives. He's focusing in on the individual.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like how because over the course of that journey, he has there's a lot of developing that has gone on in him, and he has also helped develop a lot of people. And so this is just to highlight verse one, and I'm reading this from the Passion. I am writing to those who have been given a faith as equally precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he's putting it right out there that there is, and Pastor Zach talked about this, how there is this measure of faith and every believer is judged according to their belief, the faith that we have. And so that is, and we have to consider these words as, yes, my faith is precious to me. Instead of trying to, you know, compare and do, you know, that stupid game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you can even think about Peter's own journey, like going back to that, like from Peter denying Jesus in the garden three times, which you would definitely say is like an ultimate low.
Yeah.
And then what is it like 40 something days later is the day of Pentecost when he gives this whole message and like that changes the world. Just the humility in that where Peter has experienced his own faith journey and he's probably still walking with a lot of people who have seen his own journey as well and been like, yo, Peter, you're that guy that like denied Jesus after walking with him for 3 years on earth. Like, and just the humility in that and his own faith that it's that much more precious to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And Pastor Zach really started off by emphasizing that the Father sees us on the merit of Jesus and not our own merit.
Yeah.
All it is that we believe and we have received this faith. And then from belief, like we have grace and peace being multiplied to us. And that this divine power is now inside of us. And what that gives us is that we now have everything that it takes pertaining to life and godliness. So so Peter's saying, like, it on the basis of your belief, on the basis of your faith in Jesus and his work that he did on your behalf, you now have everything that you need. And I know even for myself, like that's something that I have to sit in, because I think Satan is really good with me and other people, where it's he gets you to think that you're missing something and there's something that you have to do to get it.
Yeah.
But just resting on this truth, it's Peter saying, no, you have everything that you need.
Yeah. And as he just made that statement, we have to take time in the Lord to say, Lord, what have you given me?
Yes.
Yeah.
What have you given me? Pastor Zach opened up the message with his, his typical, this isn't a part of the message, but you need to hear this. But it actually
it is
very much is a part of the message. There are new frontiers in the Lord that he desires us to journey to venture into, but that takes a level of surrender and vulnerability to approach God and ask, Lord, what is it that you are showing me about myself, about my life, about who you created me to be and how you desire me to live? And that takes time. It takes encouragement and direction and challenge from others. It takes vulnerability with the Lord to ask, Lord, mm-hmm. what have you given me?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's a the truth is that whatever Jesus has, like what he's given us is meant to now come out of us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there is a truth that, you know, it's not like an effort in order to gain favor with the Father, but in our growth, like we can cooperate with this process of sanctification. And that's kind of what like all of these truths and this process that we're going to look at now looks like. So we start with faith. So in faith, supply, and Pastor Zach explained that word supply can be understood as minister. So we minister by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We minister moral excellence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to talk about that that faith piece for a moment is sometimes now, not saying everyone, not saying all the time, but sometimes we can lean on our faith mm-hmm. as an excuse, mm-hmm. as yes. justification,
yep.
as different things that are not what faith is. And we have to be careful about that, because if we do that, then we don't understand mm-hmm. faith,
yep.
and we don't understand what, we'll talk about this eventually, but what the divine nature is, because we need to know that because of faith,
yeah.
something awoke within us.
Talk about it now, because this sure. is super important.
Sure. And Pastor Zach said this, and this hit me hard yeah. on Sunday, that that at salvation, mm-hmm. okay? Now, I will say that some people say, oh, the day that you were saved. Well, salvation is a journey. It's a journey mm-hmm. of awakening.
Yep.
And so, but because of salvation, something becomes alive in us.
Yes.
Our spirit man yes. becomes alive.
Yes.
And there is much that needs to die in order yeah. for that to live. But there are times when we don't let things die because we're creatures of habit. We try to go to what is easily convenient and all that. But Pastor Zach said that faith is not a substitute for good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
just because you are now saved doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
And we can't say that, well, you know, I have faith so I can, or even he's full of grace and mercy so I can. Even Paul said, like, that should lead us to better behavior.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. I would say if you truly understand, like, God's love and saving power in your life, then that is going to lead you towards changed behavior. Like, if you really ingest that, like, God loved me this much, that he died for me and his blood covers my sins, that changes you. You can't just be the same person every day after that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would say, like, you know, an evidence that we have received the faith and that we are children of God and have that divine nature now, it's not that you become perfect overnight. Though God's grace does miraculously save some people from certain struggles overnight, you know. But even then, we're not perfect. But there is now a desire to become more like Jesus. And that is the evidence that you have had a heart change. Because before, you're dead in your trespasses and sins.
Yep.
And you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm a good person. Like, I might do something, but I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Once you're saved, you're like, wow, I was not a good person. and there is still more in me that has to die. And as Pastor Zach explained, he's like, my conduct needs to catch up to my condition as a Christian. So when you receive Jesus, spiritually, God looks at you through the righteousness of Jesus, because Jesus's blood does everything. And God sees you as though you have never sinned. But then there's a process that now happens as that salvation is now worked out into your physical life here on earth.
Thanks for saying it, because I was looking for that. I was trying to remember what that is, but that's exactly it. And so this is where the supply, the ministering to yourself comes in. So I recognize that I have faith. So now what? Well, what now is you have to minister to yourself. You have to minister to yourself by, and it really is as simple as taking time to seek the Father.
Yeah.
Pray, read, ask questions.
Yes.
But don't let it just be the talking and the hearing and all that. Live that out. And this is where that process takes place.
Exactly. And what's so cool, because we can hear this phrase, minister to myself. And it's like, the world's like, well, we have self-help. Like, but this is so different than that. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, it's good that I go away from you. Because when I go, the Father will send another comforter. Like, another person just like me, but he will be inside of you. So when we say minister to yourself, it's going back to what Peter says. You have everything that you need for life and godliness, and that is the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God himself living inside of you. And so when you minister to yourself, what you're really saying is, I surrender to the Holy Spirit. And Spirit, you show me where it is that I am falling short, and I can go right to you.
Yeah, I think as we kind of go through this passage more, you see that kind of, I think Pastor Zach used the term a pendulum swing of, like, these things kind of balance each other out. And immediately when I think of, like, God has given us everything that we need, I immediately thought of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is a convictor as well as a comforter. And so in this process of journey and growing to be more like Jesus, he's given us the Holy Spirit, which brings conviction and shows us, like, ooh, like, little heavy on the knowledge. Let's bring some love in there, you know, and kind of brings that balance and growth.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So now, you know, moving on to the knowledge. So it's like, to your moral excellence, you supply knowledge. And it's important because we do need to learn. And that's why we have the church, and there's people around us who are further along in their journey. And that's something that, you know, like, I find so valuable about our spiritual community and the people that are around me. But again, I think this is where, you're going to minister knowledge to yourself, but it looks like you stepping out and asking questions and learning from people and understand, having this posture that I can receive from the people around me. And I think that can be tough. Especially when we have a misunderstanding of what knowledge is, which is like, oh, it's me showing what I know.
Right.
Which it's, I would say, receive it. It's more, this is more about you receiving knowledge, and we never stop doing that.
No, we don't ever stop doing that. And that's something that we need to let go of, because, and I say the proverbial we, mm-hmm. whenever we're
yes.
you know, talking yeah. this way, if this isn't your thing, then that's fine. You right. don't need to, you right. know, feel like it is. But if we can get to a place where we don't feel like we know everything and can be open to receiving more, then I was talking to Lori about this as we were driving in, and she was saying that allows for pride to not be in the equation, mm-hmm. where they're the knowledge and the self-control.
Yes. Come yeah. Cause together. They go together. Yeah.
Yeah. They go together. And the less prideful we are, the easier it is to receive from others, mm-hmm. as well as speak into others.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jesus says freely you have received, freely give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely seen that in myself, you know, as I've grown, and as the Lord has humbled me, it's like, okay, you don't have anything that I didn't give you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it makes it so much easier for you to give it away and share,
yes.
rather than like exist in this silo and this fear of, well, what if other people like take what I have? It's like, no, that's not what this is at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're excited to give, and you find out like, wow, we just like Paul says, or maybe it's Peter, I don't know, you're members one of another.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, we have to have these open gateways with one another of sharing and growing yes. together in what we know and yeah. what we have experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a very practical, maybe Luke, you'll resonate with this as a nurse, is like, yeah. I immediately put it into like a practical, like, oh, on a daily basis, when I go to work, I work in the emergency room, and there's a lot of like fast paced situations that are very acute. And I'm constantly running into things that I don't know,
yep.
because people walk in the door with things that I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a very real sense of like, I'm leaning on my coworkers, and at times they're leaning on me. And it's like, I'm never going to learn all there is to know about the human body.
Right.
We're never going to know all the things there are. But like, through like leaning on each other and benefiting from each other's knowledge, and we're able to take care of people in the appropriate way. And so, yeah, I always take this passion to put it right into like practical.
Oh, no, that's
there's
awesome.
There's a humility in
that's
that.
That's exactly
though,
just it.
Like,
yeah.
That's it. That's yeah. it right there. You said it. You said the H word. Humility.
Humility.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think even going back to the beginning of our talk, where we're talking about, you know, like your vision for the girls' Bible study, and you, Pastor, like what you said about, you know, you don't need us to authorize you, but you might need some advice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is that exhibits such humility from leadership, mm-hmm. because it's very tempting, you know, especially as we get into positions of that from a worldly perspective look powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There's this temptation of like, I want to control. Right.
Right.
But our leadership is so submitted to whatever the Holy Spirit would have take place that it's like, yeah, you are released to operate in your gifting
mm-hmm.
That the Lord has put in you. Yeah. And we're here to help you. We're here to guide you, because you're going to need that. But we don't have to control everything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so, I just look down at my notes, and sometimes we have to think with the end in mind. The purpose is fruitfulness.
Yes.
So if the purpose is fruitfulness, then there is no place for pride.
Mm.
Honestly, you look at yourself and say, okay, can I be more fruitful?
Yeah.
And that is a humbling thing too, because the answer is probably yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. You know, I'm just thinking about at the youth Christmas party, someone yeah. had put a goldfish in the
uh-huh.
in the swap, which was funny. And then Roger was saying,
"Sorry, hold on, goldfish crackers?
A goldfish, no. Like a live
goldfish.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah." And then I joked, I said, "I'll pay $50 if you swallow it."
Oh, but, yes.
But they don't do that now in youth groups.
They don't.
Okay,
this is so youth group.
But Roger was saying that goldfish will grow in accordance to the tank that they're
mm-hmm.
in, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that there's like a spiritual metaphor there for us, where it's you are meant to keep growing.
Yeah.
And And as the, you know, don't limit what the Lord would have you do.
Yep.
And allow him, like, hey, Lord, is there a way that I should expand this tank around me? Yeah. Am I living too closed in?
That's good.
And then allow him to take you to speak to you there, because it's going to look different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So good. So did they swallow the goldfish?
No, no. Oh. They took care of it. I believe he is still alive, he or she.
Okay.
I don't know what the gender of the goldfish was, but I think they were treating it like a boy.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fine.
Just to part quickly on self-control, it is really important that we understand that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I definitely am one to raise my hand to the, you know, can we take that one out? Because
it would just be easier for you.
But that is the point.
Yeah.
That is the point. And I love how the self-control is the harnessing of the power that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
Because with it unchecked, it really just leaves a mess everywhere.
Mm.
But the self-control piece, adding that, that is what then moves us into, I would say, just very, I want to just say, you know, assassins, you know, like we're very specific. We're very purposeful. This is exactly what needs to happen right here, right now for this person. And you end up being very fruitful in that way because then you're able to take the knowledge that has been given, and with this desire to live in this divine nature lifestyle, bring truth to power in people's lives in a way that is just full of love.
Yes.
And just full of purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking like laser focus.
Laser focus. Absolutely.
It's power under control.
Exactly.
Right. And maybe that's how we should think of self-control.
Yeah.
You know, because you have this power living inside of you. Yeah. You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
So, and the Father's not saying like, oh, quench that power. He's saying, no, show self-control in how you now walk. And why the next step is we need perseverance, and we have to minister this to us, and you did such a good job of explaining that, but it's like we're running after what God calls us to with this drive and this precision and this focus, and that to me is what I think also gets the world's attention and the people around us attention, because they see, oh wow, you are like, why is it that you do what you do, why is it that you even though things are tough in your life, or you could do any number of things with your life, why are you so focused on this one thing?
Yeah.
I think self-control is not something that we see a lot of around us. I would say the world around us, and we too at points, we want to like get what we want when we want it and just do what we want. And so living with self-control looks really different.
Yeah.
And people are going to ask, hey, what's up with that? Why are you living with laser focus like that? That's not normal.
Yeah.
And one word I always think of with perseverance is tenacity. Love that word. And just like pursuing something just with like undivided focus, and like there's an attention to it where you're like, I can't see anything else on either side of this. Actually, I'm just going to go after this one thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a powerful word.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I like how the Passion Translation says patient endurance. And that patient endurance is it assumes endurance, but not in an over eager way. It is very it's very controlled, very laser focused, and in a way where there is going to be purpose that comes out of this, just instead of it just being like a flash in the pan.
Yes.
Self-control is definitely something that we talk about in our house all the time with our kids. And just to take that perspective, where here is the Father trying to encourage us into self-control because of what it leads to.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll lead to this awareness of others around you, because the great thing about self-control is just what you said, Emily, that others seeing it and what it does for them.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And so we're almost to the end,
yeah.
But we got godliness. Ooh. And Pastor Zach emphasized that we need this for perseverance, and we don't want to run past the heart of God. And he tied this into the concept of this truth about obedience. And what the Father is looking at is, like, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And in our, you know, our perseverance, our drive, it's important that we remember, okay, I just have to be obedient to what the Father puts on me. He's not looking for me to, like, do something in myself to somehow earn my way with him. Right. Or it's like, in this, it's like you are becoming more like Jesus. And that looks like being obedient the way Jesus was obedient to his Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought Pastor Zach was going to say this, but we have to say it. How did the Son learn obedience?
Yeah.
Through suffering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes suffering is having these things work their way, you know, in us, and do what they do in us so that it works something mm-hmm. out of us
yes.
that needs to be lived yes. out. And that is, it's a very hard verse to read and say, okay, Lord, am I suffering enough? Because if I'm not, then there's a certain level of comfortability that I've been accustomed to that I'm probably disobeying God with something.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's hard for us to read these things, yeah. but the thing is, we all know it's true.
Yep. Yep.
We all have different troubles. We all yep. have different hard. Hard looks different in, yeah. in all of us. And we all have it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, he says it right there, and I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, and Jesus did learn obedience through yep. the things that he suffered.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the lesson for us here? It's, okay, rather than run from my suffering mm-hmm. or my heart, mm-hmm. and rather than buy into this belief that, oh, God's just going to take it all away, mm-hmm. saying, okay, Jesus, I give this over to you. And you, and I know that it is your will to heal and restore and bring peace and rectify this situation.
Yeah.
But I know that you're here in it with me,
yep.
and you will teach me what it is that I need to learn through this and
absolutely.
The obedience that is supposed to be worked into my life through this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, like we look at all these different qualities, you could say, like faith and godliness and perseverance, self-control, knowledge, and all of these things, what they all come together to create is character.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I heard someone once say that character is what you do when no one else is watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this concept of obedience being better than sacrifice is, I think we all gravitate towards those big sacrifice things where it's
yes.
like, oh, God's asking me to lay down this job or like whatever it might be, like end this relationship or pursue him in a certain way. And it's those big moments where Peter had those, right? Mm-hmm. Where he
yep.
could say like, oh,
yep.
I did this big thing for God.
Yeah.
But what you, I think what Peter's talking about here is in his own life, he had those moments of obedience where it was every single day.
Yes.
Am I choosing self-control? Am I choosing to believe God and what he said and who he said I am? And that's what creates your characters, those daily decisions, hourly decisions that create who you are as a person. Not that those big decisions don't influence you, but it's the obedience every day. Just I'm choosing God's way in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we move into, you know, it's interesting that you're talking about character because these last two points, I think, really are the fruit of us surrendering to this process that we just walked through. And the first is brotherly kindness. And Pastor Zach said, you have to minister your godliness. Like as you become more like Jesus,
yeah.
you minister this to those around you.
Yep. Yeah.
And
go ahead.
No, and you know, and that's what we see when we look at the life of Jesus. And any time that someone was transformed by Jesus, there was always a reaction in them to how they took what he did and ministered it to those in their vicinity. You know, like you look at the woman at the well. After her encounter with Jesus, she immediately goes to the townspeople, which are the people that she was avoiding to begin with.
Yep. As you were saying that, just there's this perspective of others around us. We can be very aware of other people in the wrong way. And there can be like a comparison factor. There can be a, insecurity would look at others and say, what do they think is wrong with me?
Yeah.
But love would look at others and say, how can I help them?
Yes.
And it's not in a prideful way or not in, you know, any other way other than seeing God has given me something to love on others around me mm-hmm. with. But when we're insecure, we don't do that right. at all because we're focused on the wrong thing.
Right.
But the Lord wants our eyes to be on how to have unending love for
Amen.
Others.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And that's such a great tie-in to the final point, which is to your brotherly kindness,
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
You know, we have to remember that motivation. I think you know, the tendency in all of us, okay, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to show brotherly kindness. And it can just become something, it can start with the right motivation, but then it ends up to being something that you do. Mm-hmm. And what Peter's saying here is you have to remember your motivation. Mm-hmm. The motivation for all this is love. Mm-hmm. Don't let your love grow cold. And Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And as we see, you know, difficulties in our world or we get, you know, stuck with the hardships in our own life, we have to go back to that place of love and remembering what it was that Jesus did for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes right back to what you were saying. Just having that perspective of seeing what he's done. Knowing that it is just this magnificent, massive thing. Yeah. You want to touch on that a little bit? Because I feel like you had something you wanted to share.
I think, the more I immediately think of 1 Corinthians 13, guys. Come on, it's the love chapter. Let's go.
Go read.
Thinking about how God has loved us. And we go back to motivation. And I don't know about you, but like when I think about how God loved me when I was running in the opposite direction from him, and he calls us to love other people in that same way.
Yeah.
We don't have a concept for that, honestly. Like, we'll love people to a certain point until it hurts us, but God loved us in such an overwhelming, unconditional, truth-bounced with mercy and grace way. Like, that is crazy to comprehend.
Yes.
And then if you read in, like, 1 Corinthians 13, like, the passage we all know, love is patient and kind and not jealous or boastful or proud or rude, doesn't demand its own way, it's not irritable, and keeps no record of being wrong. Like, that's two verses.
Yeah.
I'm already convicted.
Yeah.
But I think just, again, keeping that motivation of, like, this is how God loved me, and he calls me to love other people like this. It just changes your focus and your perspective.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah. I wonder how many people are surprised that Paul didn't write that to couples.
No.
He didn't.
Yeah, he did it, but it's always at weddings.
It's always at weddings. It's such an easy thing to throw into weddings. But what about people that you – like these are two people that are choosing to love each other. What about people that you didn't choose to love for an extended period of time? They're just people that are in front of you that you have to choose to love in that moment.
Yeah. And that's – you know, going back to both of your giftings as shepherds and discipling, I think that's the mark of someone who is a good shepherd is you're able to love people when they're not exhibiting the transformation that you want when you want it.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Because when you walk with people, you see their mess.
Yeah.
You see their difficulty. But what is it that we need to choose to see from the Lord's perspective?
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, for me, someone who has more of a gravitation towards teaching, you know, my flesh would say to someone in that state is like, well, why can't you learn this? Like, I've explained it so many times. You've been exposed to this so many times. Why can't you learn this? And this is why it's so important that we need to receive from one another's giftings.
For sure.
Because from both of you, I receive, okay, what is the motivation in your teaching, Luke? When the Holy Spirit gives you something to share, like, what's the motivation? It's not just for knowledge.
Yeah.
It's so that they can grow up in love.
Yeah.
And you are the minister of my love.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Amen. And so just, you know, verse 8, just to wrap up, because this is the end. Peter says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Mm. So all these qualities, we can all keep revisiting them. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is just such a beautiful thing. So thank you guys for joining us. Emily, would you mind just closing us in prayer?
Totally. Let's do it. God, I just thank you so much for just your word and the fact that it's living and active, and that no matter what season of life we're in, you can use it to just sharpen us and change us, God, to be more useful and productive. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings conviction, and just how you've given us everything we need, a convictor, comforter, strength, grace. God, you love us so much, and we're just so grateful for that. And I just pray that in the week ahead, you would just give us your eyes to see people the way you want us to see them, to give us your love to love them,
yes,
and all these additional pieces, God, yes, knowledge, Lord, perseverance, self-control, faith, God, that we would know who you created us to be and that we would be walking in that way. And we just thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, family, thanks for joining us. Go out, walk in truth, and be fruitful. We'll see you on Sunday.
Love you, family.
Bye. Can't count on